news, information, opinions, history, and most importantly, always real. This is Rant EM Radio.
Hello and welcome back to That Awful Podcast, morelikeradio.com, rantem.com, every Monday, 4 to 5 on More Like Radio and 7 to 8 on rantemradio.com. As you all know, I do record on Saturdays for you guys to hear it on Mondays. Just works out easiest for me. I just want to give everybody a shout out right now who is at the More Like Radio Live 3 event, Moxie Kill the Radio Star. They are having a great time right now. Little live burlesque show. John from Hippo Juice and Dutch and Royce doing the stand-up Smackdown, which for those of you who don't know what that is, basically John tries to be as funny as he possibly can. Is it John or Sean? I don't remember. I forget which one it is now. Damn it. Either way, it's hysterical. They try to be funny, and they do the best they can. And when they're not funny, they basically get paddled with something torturous or, I know in the past they've paddled them bare-assed, and I think they... He did some sort of hair removal at one point and wound up getting his taint accidentally. And oh my God. Regardless, funny stuff. So by the time you're listening to this, hopefully you listen to it live. And if you haven't listened to it live, hopefully you've caught the download if they've made it available. If they haven't, keep an eye out for it. You won't be disappointed. So once again, and, speaking of More Like Radio and, things going on there, Joe Coletta is doing a lot of, filming right now down there for his, No Station Required documentary, which is going well for him right now. He's doing a lot of things. He's got a lot of video really. For some reason, I naturally revert back to podcasting, and even though it is about podcasting, he's got both audio and video. It's not going to be a silent film. I promise. But he's doing really good things right now and very excited. And he's reached out to me, and hopefully, he's asked me to do a little piece for it, so that'd be nice. Hopefully, I will not disappoint. So, guys, keep a lookout for that also. Tried to tell my wife about it. I was like, look at that. You know, I'm actually going to be an actor. I'm going to get an IMDb credit and everything. Makes me feel kind of special. I said, then you won't be fucking an actor. Go figure. Yeah, you heard what I did there. I know. So, big weekend here in New York. This was the Subway series, which... You know, growing up, everybody always talked about the Subway series, and, you know, the Subway series was like the World Series. You know, that's what it was supposed to be between two local teams. And I say two local teams because I'm going back as far as when the Dodgers and the Giants were in New York and they played against the Yankees and things like that. Those were Subway series. You know, me growing up, the Subway Series was always supposed to be the Mets and Yankees in the World Series, which didn't happen until 2000. But, you know, now they call the Interleague Series between the Mets and Yankees, which happens twice every season, the Subway Series. Whatever, it is what it is. You know, for those of you who have listened, you've heard me talk about my hatred for Yankees fans. I don't hate the Yankees as a team. I just hate the obnoxious Yankee fans. And to give you a prime example of why, I'm in a private group that's basically just a bunch of friends. And, well, some of these people, I don't know, but it was set up by a friend of mine. And we all like to go back and forth and talk smack and, you know, support our teams. And it's all walks of life there, you know. You have your Mets fans, your Yankees fans, you have your Boston Red Sox fans and Giants fans, Cowboys fans, things like that, you know. People following hockey and things like that, which I don't really, you guys know I don't follow hockey that well, although I am watching playoff hockey right now. I forget which team I'm watching. It's on in the background here, and we're in commercial, but I believe it was the Chicago Blackhawks, but I could be wrong, and they're not showing me what team I'm watching right now. So, whatever. Neither here nor there. But to watch the smack talk between Mets and Yankees fans, it's truly entertaining. And I'm sorry if you guys hear my phone going off in the background. I forgot to put it on silent. But apparently a friend of mine is DJing a party that's all Filipinos. So shout out to my buddy Brian, DJ BK, for all of you that are up in the Bronx. For all your party needs, go to him, tell him I sent you, and it'll do absolutely nothing for you. But, yeah, all the smack talk going on between Mets and Yankees fans, you know, my buddy Phil, you know him, Phil Rea from, Turnbuckle Throwbacks on Rant DM Radio. He gets so upset about, stupid sports rivalries, and I understand why he gets upset. You know, it gets a little ridiculous and things like that. But he really, like, legitimately gets twisted about it. And the Mets-Yankees rivalry to him is stupid. You know, they're both New York teams, and, you know, he's I guess, all about, you know, trying to make love, not war kind of thing, you know. But, again, he holds similar thoughts to me when it comes to the Yankees, where he doesn't hate the Yankees as a team, but he hates the Yankees fans. Now, going back to what I was saying, in this private group, somebody was talking, you know, with smack talking back and forth about, oh, you know, the Mets have this 11-game winning streak and, you know, we're going to keep it going and this and that. And Yankees fans are like, oh, you're never going to keep it going and, you know, we're going to shut you down and this and that. And in the first game, they did. In the first game, they did. They shut us down. You know, Jacob DeGrom came out and looked absolutely horrible, gave up 6 runs early, 2 home runs to Mark Teixeira. You know, just wasn't looking good. You know, in the second game, Mets came back to win 8-2 and actually looked like, you know, they were playing some good ball. But in the couple of days leading up to this, in this one group, this one guy is in there is like, oh, you know, I don't count anything the Yankees have done before 1978. I said, okay. And he also mentioned he doesn't count anything the Mets have done before 1986. So right there, I'm like, all right. I was like, hold on a second here. I said, why is it 78 for the Yankees and 86 for the Mets? To this day, still hasn't given me an answer. Just putting that out there. Then he also, I decided, let me go back. Let me do a little research, find out how many World Series the Yankees have won since then. So, including 78, the answer was 6. They've been in a total of, I believe, 10, and they lost 4 of them. So, I said, so how many series, World Series have the Yankees won in your mind? He's like, 5. I was like, interesting. So, basically what he did was he took the 1978 season out and only started counting from 1996 on. Now, this is where I have the problem. This to me is an ignorant Yankee fan. Okay? And if you feel this way about your sports team, oh, I don't count anything before they were good. No. Fuck you. You're an asshole. Okay? A true fan knows the team history. Okay? I know the Mets were the worst team in baseball, and I think still to this day, the 1962, their inaugural year, was horrific. I don't think anybody's done worse than them, okay? I know in 69 they won the World Series. I know in the 70s they had some hard times, okay? I've been through a lot with the Mets. 1986 was a magical year for me, okay? Again, that was the year I chose both of my sports teams. The Mets won the World Series. The Giants won the Super Bowl. I've been with those teams ever since. Not like I really had a choice to root for anybody else but the Mets, because most of my family is Mets are Mets fans, and I would have been disowned. But to make a statement like that is completely ignorant and foolish. You know, you can't discount your team's history. Now, why, when, yes, the Yankees are the most winningest team in sports when it comes to championships, okay? They are the winningest team in sports. All of them, okay? I get it. 27 world champions is amazing, all right? You've also been around for 100-something years. You know, good for you. You've earned the right to brag about that, absolutely. But know your team's history. Don't discredit anything your team has done. Your team had some very lean years, just like every team, okay? The Mets had some lean years in the 70s and the early 80s. 86, they came out and they won the World Series. 88, they made the playoffs, struggled through part of the 90s. You know, again, 2000s, they had one good year, maybe two, struggled again. I get it. I understand what it's like. Okay. Don't be an ignorant fan, because you're the kind of guy that I can't argue with. Okay. You're the guy I don't even want to argue with because of your foolishness. Admit, every team has lean years, every team has problems and things like that. The Yankees were great for so long because in the early 90s, they had some amazing drafts. They made some amazing homegrown players. We're talking guys like Andy Pettit and Derek Jeter, Bernie Williams, and Mariano Rivera. All right, what they called, I believe, the Core Four. Just amazing things came out of those teams. You know, they made the right signings and things like that. Now, team is struggling a little bit. Not as good as they were. Everybody's missing Jeter, okay? Everybody from the Core Four is gone. Everybody's missing Jeter tremendously. Now they got this guy, D.D. What's-His-Nuts. I forget the guy's last name. All right? And, you know, he's struggling. He's a young kid. He's coming up. He's trying to find his place in the league. And when you play for the Yankees, there's a lot of pressure. There's probably more pressure to be a Yankee than there is to play on any other team. All right? I admit that. I'm okay with that. But you gotta know your team's history. Okay? I'm a big football fan. I'm not just interested in the New York Football Giants. I'm interested in NFL history, and I went back and I learned a few things, and you know, I read some books, and I read books about the 1958 NFL championship game between the Giants and the Colts, and how everybody prepared for that and learned about Raymond Berry and Johnny Unitas and Mike Amici. You know, amazing stories, man. I mean, the fact Johnny Unitas and Raymond Berry used to go out and practice in the dark just to get their timing down, you know, where Johnny Unitas would know, this is the route Raymond Berry's going to run. This is exactly what he's going to run. At this point, this is where he should be. You're going to put the ball there, and I'm going to get it. And it would work. And it would work in actual games where he said, okay, here we go. Oh, I'm getting pressure. This is how long it should be. This is where Raymond Berry should be. Boom, there he is. Amazing stuff, okay? Know history. Appreciate your history. Don't be a dick. Don't be a self. Not a self. Just don't be. I only know my team from this year to this year. Okay? I only know the good times. I refuse to acknowledge the bad. Listen, the Mets have had some really bad times. Okay? I don't want to admit to them, but they've happened. But they've happened. Okay? So, suck it up, Buttercup. So, just to go a little bit further into, you know, I decided to have a little fun on my own personal Facebook page where, you know, I was getting everybody to post up funny memes attacking the other team. And, you know, Yankees fans were posting anti-Met memes. And Mets fans were posting anti-Yankee memes and this and that. And it was pretty funny when all the Yankees fans were sitting there and hating on the Mets as they were getting their shit kicked out of them in the first game. And then all of a sudden, the Mets fans, we stayed fairly silent. I still threw some stuff up there because really, whatever, it was fun to me, you know. And then, you know, then all of a sudden the Yankees fans were silent. And then they started getting a little twisted as you were poking fun at them during the second game where the Mets were just handling their business. You know, and the one thing I made mention of on more than one occasion is the measure of a good team is you got your streak broken, okay? Your 11-game winning streak is now broken. You got embarrassed. You played horribly. The Mets batters were swinging at garbage. Jacob deGrom was just making bad pitches for a Mets fan. Good pitches for a Yankees fan and Yankees hitters, okay? The measure of a good team is how you get back up. If you stay down and you continue to beat yourself up over what just happened, you're not that good of a team. But the Mets came back in the second game and played really well. Solid baseball, even though Daniel Murphy, who one of my personal favorite players, was completely fucking boneheaded on a bunt play. Okay? Everybody knows that when a ball was bunted and the first baseman breaks in, the second baseman has to break over to first, and the shortstop usually breaks over to second if there's a runner on first. If there's a runner on second, he breaks over to third. You got to have those two bases covered. Well, this DD What's-His-Nuts guy, I want to continue to call him What's-His-Nuts because I don't know his last name, bunts the ball down. Lucas Duda comes in from first. This kid Campbell comes in from third. Nobody went to cover the bases. Nobody went to cover the bases. They would have probably had him out at first base if Daniel Murphy had gotten over there, but he was slow getting over there. He was just kind of like, he started off kind of nonchalantly jogging over there. The umpire kind of got in his way for like a half a second, but it was still no excuse. You should have been beyond that point by the time the umpire got there. You should have been covering the base. This is boneheaded play, and this is what can't happen. Okay, and I'm sure Daniel Murphy's gotten a lot of shit for this. Daniel Murphy is now a veteran. All right, they were saying he was making $8 million a year. All right, you have young guys who have the talent, who want your job. And if you continue to make stupid plays like that, you're going to lose it. Again, I'm a Daniel Murphy fan. I supported him. All my friends were bagging on him. Well, most of my friends were bagging on him when he was first up with the Mets and talking, oh, he's not that good. He's not that good. And I kept saying, listen, you got to give him time. They couldn't find a position for him. They finally found him home at second base. I was like, but he's the kind of guy that he has to play every day. He has to play every day to get into a groove and be comfortable and things like that. And sure as shit, once he started playing every day, he got better. And everybody was like, oh, well, what happened with Daniel Murphy? Well, exactly what I told you. They started playing him every day. So stupid things like that can't continue to happen. Everybody has a momentary lapse of sanity. I get it. And I'm happy it happens early in the season. When it starts happening later in the season, obviously you have something distracting you and you need to work it out. Beginning of the season, you know, it again, something like that shouldn't happen, I'm writing it off as a momentary lapse of sanity, but other people are going to write it off as, oh, you got to knock the dust off. Nah, dude, you're 17 games into the season. That rust should be knocked off already. That's what spring training is about. But enough about that. So, by the way, let's go Mets. I'm hoping they win the third game just to take the series from the Yankees. But we'll wait and see what happens there. Just to cover the little bit of the Stanley Cup playoffs, we have a couple teams moving forward. The New York Rangers won Friday night in overtime, beating the Pittsburgh Penguins. They win the series 4-1. They're moving forward. The New York Islanders on Saturday tied their series at 3 games each against the Capitals. Whoever wins this Game 7, which is probably happening right now, depending on which network you're listening to me on, Monday evening the game should be on. Whoever wins this game moves on to play the Rangers in the next round. Going further around, let's take a quick look over here. And we'll finish up with the Eastern Conference. Montreal and Ottawa. Montreal leads the series 3-2. Detroit Red Wings leading the Tampa Bay Lightning 3-2. Both series could possibly end. Well, let's see. Montreal can win the series on Sunday. And Monday, Red Wings can win the series. Right now, I am watching the Chicago Blackhawks and the Nashville Senators. And where are they? Why don't I see them in here? Oh, there they are. That's why. Chicago leads the series 3-2. As of right now, as of this recording, this game is tied 3-3 with a little over 15 minutes left in the third period. Minnesota leads St. Louis in the series 3-2. Their next game is Sunday afternoon, which, when you're listening, should be yesterday. So you should know what the result is. As we said, I didn't mention this. Anaheim swept Winnipeg 4-0. They're moving on to the next round. And Calgary and Vancouver playing right now. Vancouver is up 3-1. Again, remember, this is Saturday. The end of the first. Calgary leads the series 3-2. So there's that. Let's see. How are we looking on time right now? We got a few minutes. I want to cover a little bit of the NFL draft. The NFL draft is going down on Thursday. I'm looking at some of the players in this year's draft. I'm not terribly excited. This is a very, very dull-looking draft class. I mean, you have your potential superstars coming out and things like that. I mean, you got Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota coming out, and obviously a lot of people picking those guys to go 1-2. As it stands right now, we're going to give you the top 10 picks in the draft, starting with number 1, ending with number 10. Number 1, the Tampa Bay Bucks. Number 2, the Tennessee Titans. Number 3, the Jacksonville Jaguars. Number 4, the Oakland Raiders. 5, the Washington Redskins. 6, the New York Jets. 7, the Chicago Bears. 8, the Atlanta Falcons. 9, my beloved New York Giants. And 10 is the St. Louis Rams. Now, the number 2 pick may change. There's a lot of talk right now, and it's been going on for a little bit. It's kind of died out a little bit now, but this is the week before the draft, and I hate doing mock drafts. When I was doing tattoos and touchdowns, it drove me insane to do the mock draft because so much happens in the week leading up to the draft where trades are made and things like that, that, you know, it just completely, it just fucks everything up for you. Right now, Tampa Bay is picking first, and they're probably going to keep that pick because they need quarterback help. And Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota are obviously going to be right there, so they want one of those two. Everybody thinking they're going to go with Jameis Winston. He's a Florida guy. Crab-legged thief, you know. I don't know how great of a pick that's going to be. Reading a lot about him and things like that, there's a lot of questions as to whether or not he's NFL ready. He's a bit immature, which, hey, listen, kid's like 20 years old. You're supposed to be immature. Okay. You know, look at guys like, shit, why can't I think of this guy's name right now? Drafted last year. I can't think of his name. He's an idiot. You know, you're going to be stupid, and it's kind of okay. I mean, Jameis Winston's pretty much stayed under the radar now since he got in trouble last time. He was charged with something stupid. I forget what it was. It wasn't nearly as stupid as the crab leg theft, but you know, you gotta try to keep when you're gonna be eligible for the draft, you gotta keep your nose clean, all right? Because it's one thing teams look at now, and now more so than ever, is your character. It's big. That's what they want to see. They want to see you have good character. But the number two pick where Tennessee is picking, that may be traded as Phillip Rivers is being tossed around as possible trade bait to Tennessee for the number two pick so that the Chargers can pick up Marcus Mariota. Now, it's an interesting choice because why get rid of Phillip Rivers when you're just going to draft another quarterback? Well, the answer is simple. Phillip Rivers has been the quarterback now for about, 12, 13 years. That was the whole big Eli Manning trade, you know, where the Chargers drafted Eli Manning at number one, and then the Giants traded, picked up Phillip Rivers, and then they traded draft picks, okay? Smart move on the Chargers' part because they got a lot more for Eli Manning. But, you know, people have asked me being the big Giants fan that I am now, you know, do I think that the Giants would have done better with Phillip Rivers? I don't think they would have done better, but I think they would have had the same result. Okay, and I love Eli Manning, and I support Eli Manning 100%. But Phillip Rivers is a really good quarterback, you know, and some people in my circle of friends have compared him to Dan Marino, where the guy puts up good numbers, but he's just never going to get that ring. And it's unfortunate for him because, you know, as much as I hate to say it, he really kind of deserves it. But he hasn't been able to really do a whole hell of a lot with that San Diego Chargers team. So the San Diego Chargers now are going to sit there and say, okay, it's time to rebuild. All right, so you're looking to rebuild. You're looking to bring a young quarterback in that could take you into the future because Phillip Rivers has been around for a while and simply just can't do it. So looking around here, the Jacksonville Jaguars, everybody's looking at a lot of people looking at Dante Fowler, who's an outside linebacker. The Oakland Raiders looking at possibly some defensive ends, maybe a wide receiver. I think you really need to go wide receiver there. The two being tossed around the most right now are Amari Cooper and Kevin White. They need a little bit of help there. I'm not gonna lie. That's just my personal feeling. Washington Redskins, people looking them going defense first, where it's going to be either a linebacker or defensive end. For the Jets, more defense being drafted here. Again, outside linebacker, defensive end. They need a little bit of help in both areas. I think outside linebacker more so than anything else. For Chicago, people looking at some offensive help where it's either going to be a nose tackle or a wide receiver. Got to be honest with you. You got to work on that offensive line a little bit where, I mean, Jay Cutler is still your quarterback, unfortunately, so no matter what wide receiver you throw out there, it's not going to make a difference. Don't punish a young kid. It's just not right. Atlanta Falcons, they're looking at some defensive help, where, again, outside linebacker, defensive end, a lot of people picking Vic Beasley to go down there. Now, what bothers me here is looking at this mock draft, Daniel Jeremiah, who's usually fairly reliable, Picking the Giants to take a wide receiver at the number 9 spot. That's if Amari Cooper goes down that far. I don't think he is. But why would you say that when they got guys like Victor Cruz, Reuben Randall, and Odell Beckham Jr.? Not necessarily in that order. But those are three prolific receivers. Well, two prolific receivers and Reuben Randall, who is a damn fine receiver. Okay? If anything, the Giants need a little more help at running back, but they need the most help in offensive line. That offensive line was absolutely atrocious and was part of the reason Eli Manning was as ineffective as he was, even though his interceptions came down. Number 10, St. Louis Rams. People looking at offensive help there, whether it be on the line or at the wide receiver spot. They definitely need some help there. They just lost their quarterback, Sam Bradford. He went over to Philadelphia, as did Tim Tebow. Yeah, he just got signed by Philly. A lot of people sitting there saying that he's just going to be a camp arm. For those of you who don't know what a camp arm is, basically he's just a guy who comes in for camp and fills space and tries to compete for a spot where, you know, because Sam Bradford's coming back from an injury and it's going to be need to be off a little bit more. So, oh, look at that. I am over what I wanted to be. So we are now over the 30-minute mark. I'm going to take a quick break, get some ad time in there, and, well, you know, I guess pay some bills for the bosses. That Awful Podcast, rantemradio.com, morelikeradio.com. We'll be right back after this.
Hey everybody, Double A here to tell you that Rant Entertainment Media is bigger and better than ever with our huge lineup of original first-run programming. Things kick off on Monday at 7 p.m. with Will Sweeney and That Awful Podcast. And at 11:15 p.m. following Monday Night Raw, join Lee and Rage live for Freaks and Effin' Geeks. Then on Tuesday nights, join myself, Double A, and Tony C for The Mothership, The Rant, live at 8 p.m. Take a trip back in time on Wednesday nights with Turnbuckle Throwbacks live at 9 p.m. with the Impact player Phil Rea and Dave Mega Powers. Thursday nights bring you another doubleheader with the Rexplex, hosted by Rex Watson at 7 p.m., followed by Rant and Wrestling at 9 p.m. You can expect a new episode of the Lex Podcast every Friday, hosted by Lexicon. Sit back late on Saturday nights at 11 p.m. with William Morgan and the Wrestling Call-In Show live. And bring it back home at 5 p.m. on Sundays with the What Are You Reading comic book show with Surfer and Jordan Cobb live. And you can tune into any of these programs by just going to rantemradio.com. And don't forget to take us with you on the go by downloading the TuneIn Radio app on your mobile device and simply searching for Rant Entertainment Media. So don't miss out on anything we have to offer you each and every day. It's your one-stop source for endless opinions and quality entertainment. All right here at rantemradio.com.
And we're back. That Awful Podcast, morelikeradio.com, rantemradio.com, every Monday. But you guys already knew that because you've been listening from the beginning of the show. Good for you. All right, so as of right now, the Chicago Blackhawks just went up 4-3. Looks like they're going to wind up winning their series right now. It's only about 3 minutes left in the game, so congratulations to them. Being I spent the whole first half hour talking about sports, I just want to make it a sports-themed show. How about that? I'm not going to get into the professional sports like I was, but I am going to talk about something that happened over in Australia. The headline reads, "Jockey Blake Shinn cracks up crowd when his pants drop in mid-race malfunction." This is kind of entertaining. So basically, Blake Shinn is a jockey. He was running hard, I guess you could say. And then all of a sudden his pants fell down. Yeah. You know how jockeys get when they're trying to, you know, they lay low, but they put their ass up high, you know. as they're going around the final turn, Pence just dropped past his ass. So this happened at Australia's Canterbury Racecourse. So I want to read you the first paragraph of this from the Huffington Post. The jockey's pants fell down on the final turn of race one at Australia's Canterbury Racecourse, leaving his bare derriere in the air. But Shin didn't let the wardrobe malfunction distract him, keeping his eyes on the bum rush to the finish line. Yeah. So, a quote from Blake Shin: I was more worried about winning the race. The pants went just after the start, and there was nothing I could do. I think a lot of people are going to have a bit of fun with this, but they can't say I wasn't focused and went to the line. Now, keep in mind, Blake Shin wound up finishing second in this race. So, you know, good for him. I mean, you know, your pants bust, you're like, oh, crap. And then all of a sudden, you're like, screw it, I got to do what I got to do. And then there's actually a picture of him with his pants down around his, just below his ass, again, with his ass up in the air, finishing the race. So, you know, good for you. The chief steward, Greg Rudolph, says, we usually report gear malfunctions, but we're leaving that one alone. Okay. So Shin went on to say, I usually come here to stay focused in search of winners. People wouldn't know that I'm cheeky. Yep. How many butt references can we fit into this article? Thank God it's pretty much almost over. But finally, somebody gave him a piece of advice that said, go and debrief with your owners. So there you go. And then, of course, you know, all the pictures started popping up and things like that. People posting a picture of a full moon. People posting the picture of, again, his bare ass. You know, but he took it all in stride, poking a little fun at himself. Apparently, there was an Australian model, Jennifer Hawkins. She had a bare moment mid-catwalk. Apparently, she had a little wardrobe malfunction in the middle of a walk. And he said, now I know how Jen Hawkins feels. Tried to give my fellow jocks a bum steer, but unfortunately backfired. Well, there you go. You imagine that, though, man. I mean, you're running a race, going balls to the wall, and all of a sudden, pants around your ass. There you are. What are you going to do? What are you going to do at that point? I mean, good for him for staying focused enough to finish the race, but that's got to be embarrassing. Yep, I did it too. I did it too, and I know you all just heard it. Just love it. Become one with it. It's all right. So the other big news for the week happened on Friday night as Diane Sawyer interviewed Bruce Jenner on ABC's 2020. Now, Bruce came out and finally, I guess you want to say, associated himself as transgender, or identified himself would be the better word, excuse me. He identified himself as transgender. Okay? It's really not that big a shock to everybody if you've been watching and things like that. And I mean, I look at a lot of, follow Facebook a lot, and you see all these stories. And, you know, I mean, that's the one good thing about, Facebook is people do the reporting for you. You know, they put up all these articles and things like that and all these pictures. And you can see over the last year what Bruce Jenner's transition has been going like, you know, where he was never really, I guess you would say he was never really a rugged looking man. Maybe a little on the effeminate side to begin with, but he was male, you know, he was always a man, you know, and apparently he hasn't identified himself as a man in quite some time. Still doesn't want to be called female or anything like that. You know, he still associated himself as male, but he never really felt like a man, you know. So we'll start off a little bit again. We're getting this article from the Huffington Post. There it is. A quote from him from the interview. Pardon me. I'm me. I'm a person. This is who I am. I'm not just stuck in anybody's body. My brain is much more female than male. For all intents and purposes, I am a woman. People look at me differently. They see you as this macho male, but my heart and my soul and everything that I do in life is part of me. That female side is part of me. That's who I am. I was not genetically born that way. As of now, I have all the male parts and all that kind of stuff, so in a lot of ways we're different. But we still identify as female. And that's very hard for Bruce Jenner today. Why? I don't want to disappoint people. Really, who are you disappointing? I mean, me personally, I'm going to sit there and yes, I'm going to crack the jokes, okay? If that offends anybody, I'm sorry, but I'm going to crack the jokes. That's part of who I am. It's part of what I do. I like to laugh. I like to make people laugh and things like that. Do I honestly, truly care that Bruce Jenner is going to go through the change and become a female? No, I don't. It really doesn't have any impact on my life. Okay. I do have the interview recorded. My wife and I plan on watching it because we're both a little intrigued by it. She's intrigued about it for different reasons than I am. You know, she's kind of a voyeur this way. You know, I've always kind of felt that my wife should probably work for TMZ. She would excel at it. But then again, she'd probably have a little too much fun. And, you know, who wants to have fun at work, really? But, you know, again, it shouldn't matter to anybody, okay, what he does. I mean, him and Kris Jenner separated in 2013. I don't know if they're fully divorced or whatever the case. I'm sure they are, whatever. You know, Kris Jenner doesn't support him in this and stuff like that, where some of his other ex-wives do. You know, there are plenty of people who are having a hard time with this. And really, nobody should be having a hard time. I mean, is it a little weird that, yeah, Bruce Jenner in 1976 won the gold medal in the decathlon? All right, that's one of the toughest events. You know, that's 10 track and field events. Okay? It's respectable. It's respectable to win gold in any event, but especially the decathlon. You know, had his picture on the Wheaties box and the whole nine yards and had a successful career based on that, really. You know, I don't know if you guys heard that in the background, but my wife is chiming in from the other room. Yes, honey, he also played football, but he wasn't professional. He was either high school or college. But, okay, he was very good, according to my wife. I'm sorry if you guys couldn't hear what she was saying. You want to come on mic, honey? No. No, you want to stay in the dining room and hide? You know, you can turn the light on. You don't have to sit in the dark. No. Smooches. My lovely bride, everybody, say hello. Hello. Not you. I was telling them to say hello to you. Stop it. It's not all about you, princess. What? Okay. And just for the record, guys, I'm not doing this for the show. This is actually how we communicate with each other. It's a beautiful thing. But going on, you know, Jenner said that, you know, Bruce Jenner said he is sexually attracted to women. But he said, you know, as a child, he dressed in women's clothing. And he also revealed that he's gone out in public dressed as a woman for years. So you kind of wonder. I mean, Bruce Jenner has pretty much been silent. You know, nobody's really, hasn't really been in the media until Keeping Up with the Kardashians. You got to kind of wonder how this didn't slip out sooner. okay? Everybody followed Keeping Up with the Kardashians. Well, not everybody, but there are millions of people who follow Keeping Up with the Kardashians. How this was never caught on film and leaked is beyond me. Okay? Bottom line, if he's been doing this for years, it's obviously been caught on tape. Okay? Because there was cameras all over there. Somebody has this video. And the fact that it hasn't been leaked tells you that they had some damn good lawyers. Or they took those tapes and they just destroyed them. Okay? Which also means that the Kardashian family knew about this, as well as his two children with Kris Jenner. You know, they all had to know this. Let's see. Jenner goes on saying, Jenner said being on a show like Keeping Up with the Kardashians is not a hindrance, but it gives him a platform to be able to have a real impact. We're going to change the world, he told Diane Sawyer. I really firmly believe that we're going to make a difference in this world. I hope you're not meeting the Kardashians, because if that's what you're meaning, then I'm highly frightened for what our future holds. So let's see. Okay, here we go. This is a quote from GLAD President CEO Sarah Kate Ellis. She said, today millions of people learn that someone they know is transgender. By sharing this story, Bruce Jenner has shined light on what it means to be transgender and live authentically in the face of unimaginable public scrutiny. Though Jenner's journey is one that is deeply personal, it is also one that will impact and inspire countless people around the world. Yeah, I guess it is going to inspire some people. I'm sure now that Bruce Jenner's come out as transgender on Facebook, and well, not just Facebook, but he's come out as transgender. There's going to, you know, if you're on Facebook and you follow social media and things like that, there are going to be hundreds of stories and timelines flooded with, you know, oh, so-and-so came out as transgender, and, you know, so, you know, somebody you don't know. I'm not saying there's going to be another celebrity doing it, but, you know, this kid came out as transgender to his parents, and the reaction, you know, trying to give that little hook to make you watch it, you'll never believe their reaction. Me personally, I don't click on those things. They call it clickbait. Well, let me not say I don't, but very rarely do I. By the way, Chicago Blackhawks now moving on to the next round of the playoffs as they just won the final game of their series 4-3. Congratulations to the Blackhawks. Again, you're listening on Monday or later in the week, you already knew this. Just putting it out there. But, again, you know, going back to Bruce Jenner, it takes a lot of courage for somebody to come out as different. Okay, and now when I say different, I'm not trying to put anybody down, but you know, whether it's somebody who's homosexual or transgender, or you know, they hold some sort of deep secret. They have a certain perversion or something like that, you know. I'm not saying that any of that is perverted. I'm just saying it's people are keeping a secret. Bottom line is, whether Bruce Jenner comes out or not, the person who is thinking about, you know, is dealing with the issue of, you know, I'm transgender, but I don't know how to tell my family. I don't know how to tell my friends. I'm gay, but I don't know how to tell my family. I don't know how to tell my friends. They're not going to come out until they're ready. If Bruce Jenner inspires you to do that, then, hey, good for you, so be it. But Bruce Jenner shouldn't be the one inspiring you. Okay? You kind of have to inspire yourself, and you have to want to do it. And if you don't, then, hey, that's fine. It's your business. But do it on your own terms. Don't come out and do it because Bruce Jenner did it. Do it because you're ready to do it. Let's see. apparently Kim Kardashian made a statement saying that I think everybody can learn from his story, and I'm excited for him to be able to share that. You know, they asked her apparently what her daughter North is going to learn from Bruce, and she came back and said, "We all just support him 100%. I hate so badly when things like my mom doesn't support him, or this sister doesn't support him. It's all just a story that people want to put out there. None of us have spoken, and we're letting Bruce speak first." Yeah, I guess that's kind of the right thing to say. Bruce Jenner has to be the first one to come out and make a statement, and then everybody kind of has to speak up afterwards. I got to be honest with you. I think this is quite possibly the most intelligent thing Kim Kardashian's ever said. So, shout out to her. You know, he was named the, just going on a little bit, think a little bit about the backstory. He was named the world's greatest athlete when he won the decathlon at the 76 Olympics. Married Kris Jenner in 1990, well, what became Kris Jenner in 1991, where she already had 4 kids. They later had 2 more, oh, 3 more, excuse me. Oh, no, I was right, 2 more, Kendall and Kylie. And then, again, he has 2 ex-wives, Linda Thompson and Christy Scott, and he had each had 2 children with them. So apparently, Christy Scott came out and said that, you know, she supports Bruce in whatever he chooses to do. What I found interesting was the note at the end of this article where it says, "Though Jenner has come out as, for all intents and purposes, a woman," and they quote that, "he has not yet indicated that he would like to be known by a new name or female pronouns. So this story uses male pronouns." Again, that's a decision that you have to be ready to make and things like that. And, you know, as an EMT, I learned a long time ago. I mean, I've been an EMT in Manhattan. So when I was riding the streets, I'd wind up all over the place, and I'd wind up downtown, uptown, you know. I mainly worked in the Midtown / Times Square area. But I'd get pulled downtown a lot, especially on the midnight tours, you know. Midnight tours on the weekends when the weather's nice, all bets are off. You got to know the whole borough. But I was working with an old partner of mine, this guy Dave Mandel, you know, may he rest in peace. A good guy who was taken way too early. We go down to a job, and the person we were dealing with was transgender. And I've been exposed to gay people, and I've been exposed to lots of different people, but I'd never been exposed to a transgender person. I was 22 years old at the time. And, you know, Dave used to work down in the village and ran around all over the place. So he was used to it. And, you know, I just let him take the lead. And the one thing I learned was when you were dealing with somebody who was transgender, you asked them, "How do you identify?" And if they identify as female, then everything you wrote was "she states" and things like that. You know, when you checked off the gender box, you checked off female. You know, when you called them by their female name. You do kind of have to wonder, though, as far as Bruce Jenner is concerned, is he having a difficult time naming his female persona? If he's been doing this for so long, does he already have a name for his female persona? I don't know if persona is really the right word for this, but, you know, how is he going to identify himself? You know, just a little fun. You know, let's come up with a new female name for Bruce Jenner. Throw it up on the Facebook page, That Awful Podcast on Facebook, and you know, we'll see who gets it right. But let's see. Let's take a look. How are we doing on time here? Oh, I got a couple more minutes, so I want to do one more quick story for you. We are going to head out to Chicago, where my brother is moving back to this week. You know, hope him and his husband and my niece and nephew have a safe trip. So I want to read you the headline, and this is what intrigued me. Mom turns in son after recognizing photos in gruesome Chicago sexual assault. So apparently a 15-year-old, police say, brutalized, sexually assaulted, and robbed a woman on a Chicago train, was turned into police by his mom after she recognized surveillance photos released by authorities. This fine, upstanding gentleman's name is Deshaun Isabel. He's being charged as an adult. That's why his name has been released, even though he is a minor. His mom turned him in on Wednesday, and then on Thursday, prosecutors released his detailed crimes, his alleged crimes, excuse me, which took place Monday afternoon inside a Chicago train car, in which police said Isabel and the victim were the only occupants. Let's see, from WLS-TV, in court Thursday, prosecutors said surveillance video from the CTA Blue Line train shows Isabel grabbing a 41-year-old woman from behind, sexually assaulting her, and robbing her around 3 p.m. This was near the Oak Park stop. So all my fans in Chicago, please, you know, be careful, be alert. So apparently, Mr. Isabel allegedly kicked and punched the victim and then pushed her head against the ground. Then the teen allegedly stuck his hands inside the victim's pants and sexually assaulted her. After he stole $2,000 and an iPhone from her, Isabel left the train and the victim was able to alert authorities. The woman said the reason she had so much cash on her was because she was planning on wiring it to relatives. So that's fantastic. This woman's sitting there. She's going to help out a family member. And then all of a sudden she gets robbed and sexually assaulted by this piece of shit. So, this guy's mom, she didn't want to comment when she was approached by a reporter, but she, let's see, what does it say here? But she did confront Assistant State Attorney Joe DiBella, who spoke to reporters after Isabel was ordered held on $1 million bail. Now, I'm just going to fill in the parts where they wrote expletive with what I think was said. Makes the most sense to me. Don't talk that shit about my child, she said, acknowledged, according to the Tribune. Quit talking all of that shit on the fucking news. So, you turned him in, Mom. Just saying. I mean, you saw what he allegedly did. You turned him in. You got to kind of expect what's going on. I mean, granted, yes, it's your son, but remember, you're the one that did the right thing, ultimately. I would like to think that that's what I would do if I was in that situation and it was my son. But I don't know. I don't know. But on that note, we're going to wrap this up, call it a show. Thank you for listening. That awful podcast, rantemradio.com, morelikeradio.com. Again, be on the lookout for the More Like Radio live event. Audio should be available soon. I'm sure there's going to be some editing and things like that. I've been looking at the pictures on Facebook from the show, and it looks like everybody's having a good time. It looks like it's being hosted by Joe Coletta. Again, no station required. Still time to donate if you want to make a donation to him. tinyurl.com/nostationrequired. Royce Lopez, host of Dutch and Royce and Hippo Juice and boss of More Like Radio. Check them out. Check out Joe Coletta's show too, by the way, Cousin Joe's show on Thursdays. With that being said, thanks again for listening. I appreciate all of you, and have a good week. See you in 7 days. Later.